Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
But today we're continuing our sermon series, Listen to Him. We've been doing our little devotional, and we've been following these words of Jesus, and we've been going from last week we were on top of the mountain of transfiguration, and now we're walking down this Lenten journey, and we're headed to the cross. Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem. And that's where we're going with him. So we're up here at the highest point. All the glory, where JD says, that's where we should build our church and just stay there on the mountain with Jesus. And Jesus says, no, we've got a mission down there. And I think we're all thankful that he decided to go down there. And so our goal is that we will listen to him. And we've got these daily prayers as we're hearing God speak and we're praying for things. And I hope that you're starting to hear God speak to you. Today we're going to continue with one of the scriptures we looked at this week in our devotional, Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. If you're on the app, it is up and running now, so you can log in on the YouVersion Bible app, go to menu events, Emmanuel, poop, it's there for you. If you're in your own Bible, Luke 11, and if you have not yet received a discipleship book to make your own notes and comments in, we've got plenty, so please consider that. All right, if you can and are able, please stand with me as we read these verses from the gospel. Starting in verse 5 of the 11th chapter. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, you would give them a snake instead? Or if your child asks for an egg, will you give them a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart gathered here be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. In our devotion this week, this text is used, and J.D. Walt, the author, says this. He says, 3 words capture today's text. Did you hear them? I'm not referring to ask, seek, and knock. For me, he says, the 3 words are how much more. So today, that's the topic of what I want us to hear from Jesus. Those are words from Jesus that we can hang our hat on. You got that one? Take it to the bank. If Jesus says it, we have to assume he will be faithful to it, because he cannot lie to us in one hand and then be good in the other. So when he speaks, it has to be all good. Does that make sense? It makes sense, right? Okay. That does not mean our interpretation is correct. It means the way he said it was correct. Just wanted to clarify that. So we've got two examples here of Jesus as he starts telling this story. And maybe it's just me, but they make no sense to me. A friend. If you're knocking on my door at midnight, you're not that much of a friend. You've actually just become the enemy. Don't come knocking on the door. That's why we got cell phones, people. Call somebody. But Jesus says, so what if a friend comes to the door at midnight and says, give me 3 loaves of bread. I just had a guest come. I didn't know they were coming. And now I have no food to give them. It only makes sense if we look at it in that Jewish context. This man would know they had extra bread because the ladies baked in a common area outside of the village. So they would know, hey, Chris has got 5 extra loaves because his guest didn't show up. They also had a radical sense of hospitality. That's why the inn's full. When Mary and Joseph get there, it's because all the travelers are welcomed in. Nobody's turned away. And so this guest shows up, and so that's our friend. They're showing up and they're hungry. We have nothing. We have to find them food. We have to. They had this code back then, just like we have codes today, but theirs was based on honor and shame. You made a decision and it either brought you honor in the eyes of people or it brought you shame. Same thing in the eyes of God. And so even though this friend is now going to have to wake up the entire family, both of them are dealing with this honor shame. The friend knocking has to decide, would I rather do the honorable thing and provide for my friend or not knock on the door late at night and feel shame? The person inside has said no. But guess who else has heard the request? All the neighbors. So if the neighbors know their tradition that this person needs help with hospitality and you're not willing to give it, shame on you. I mean, the next morning when you walk outside, one of those deals. So it's a very weird thing that we can't understand, but Jesus is saying, even if the persistence leads to them getting the bread, how much more can we trust God then? That's the point he's trying to make. Then he goes to another one and he says, there's a father whose child asked for a fish. Would you give him a snake? That sounds ridiculous to me. In this culture, you could accidentally, a child could mistake the scales of a snake for that of a fish. So it's the textual thing. We see it in Matthew's gospel as well. The egg and the scorpion, that one's harder to figure out for me. I don't see a lot of scorpions in my day. But if you've ever seen one, they will roll up tight in a ball and could be mistaken by a child as an egg. And so Jesus is saying, if your children ask for these things, would you dare tempt them or test them with these evil things? And the answer is no. And then he gets down to the matter of it. Well, then how much more? If you're evil and you know how to do what's right, how much more would our Heavenly Father give to his children? So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Important words from Jesus. Words that were shared with me by a dear friend of mine when I was going for a job interview that I desperately wanted. Boy, I was so confident. I'm going to get this job because I asked God for it. And I know it's what he wants for my family. Guess what? I didn't get it. And I was devastated. I mean, it impacted me in ways I've never shared with people because that job was my first call into ministry. And it partnered the two things I loved more than anything else, and that was the gospel of Jesus and sports. And they told me, no. Sorry, not what we're looking for. But God said, if I ask, he'll give it. That's the way we read it, isn't it? That's certainly not what Jesus is saying at all. Because every single one of us has been in a situation where we've asked for something in faith and we didn't get it. It didn't turn out the way we wanted it to turn out. You've ever had a sick loved one, you've prayed for healing, but they still died. We didn't get it answered the way we wanted, did we? Doesn't mean God didn't answer it. I can't think of any better way to be healed than to be in the presence of Christ. But for us here on earth, it leaves us with heartache, doesn't it? This is how the New Interpreter Bible Commentary puts this concept. It says, the danger of these words come when we take these as sayings as a blank check on which we can write or ask anything our heart desires. Jesus assured his followers that God answers prayers, but he did not guarantee that they would receive whatever they requested. The assurance follows, our passage follows the Lord's Prayer. And it is assumed that those who are asking, those who are seeking, those who are knocking are asking from their need and for their desire to see God's will, to seek God's kingdom, and knocking at the door as a neighbor in the night. Our passage today follows Jesus' teachings on how to pray. And so when it talks about, you know, thy will be done, the assumption is that's in the heart and the manner in which these people know they should be praying. Jesus says, if you then, who are evil, in verse 13, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? More. It's a funny word. It's a word we often teach our children as quick as possible. Parents, talk to me, right? I want more. Because this, is better than, because we don't know what that means. Oh, you want more goldfish. We teach them more. Be careful, because when they turn two, I want more. More what? Donuts. Right? It's a word that once we learn, there's no getting away from. We ask for more all the time. And when a child asks for more, they don't just ask once. They ask over and over and over until they get it. The word persistent is used in our scripture text in most translations. That word persistence actually goes back into the Greek and means shameless or audacious, meaning without shame. I'm asking my neighbor, I'm asking God without shame of what other people think or who else hears. It's a desperate kind of prayer that we've talked about. Jesus says that God will give us, if we're evil and we give good gifts, he says, then God will give you the greatest gift, so much more, if you'll ask, if you'll seek, and if you'll knock. So when was the last time as a person who was trying to follow Jesus that you asked for more of the Holy Spirit? For more, that word scares a lot of people. But it shouldn't. It's one third of the Trinity. And it means God's presence. It means God's power. So when is the last time you say, God, I need more of your presence and power in my life? Because that's the type of prayer he'll answer. We ask God for a lot of things, don't we? I do. I ask him for a lot. And then I try to make guarantees that I'm going to follow up on my end. And I flub those up. But, oh, God, this time I'm serious. This time, God. That was like not serious, Andrew. This is serious, Andrew. And if you'll do this, man, then I'll do this. And I'm bargaining with God. You ever done that? Doesn't work out, does it? But we're okay with asking God for a lot of things, but I think we have a problem. We struggle with asking God for more of his power and his presence. And I think there's some reasons why. I think one reason is, and it just, this should break our heart, but it's true, especially in the American church, is we don't think we need more. Because we've been justified, because we've been saved, we do not need more to move deeper into holiness. We got it. I'm good. We're good. We're good. If you want to hear the most lies in an hour time period, go to a church and watch the greeting. How you doing? Good. Good. How are you? Fine. Yeah, good week. Yeah, weather's good. Yeah. Y'all, there are people sitting in here, right in here where you could touch, who are miserable inside. But because we're too proud, too judgmental, we won't ask each other to pray for us. Because we're afraid of what somebody will think if I got a problem in my life. Another reason I don't think we want more of the Holy Spirit is because we're just not going to follow it. I'm just not going to do it. I have been miserable for the last week and a half. And I'm just being transparent with you. Use it however you want to, but I'm just trying to be transparent. I have been miserable in my soul for the last week and a half. And it's a simple reason why. God's telling me to do something that I don't want to do. And I've not done it. And so when I say, God, give me more of your Holy Spirit, give me more of your peace, he turns around like a Jewish teacher would and says, well, what have you done with what I've already asked you to do? See, he's not going to give you more until you've been obedient with what he's given you. And I'm not being obedient with this one aspect, and I can't sleep at night because of it. But I'm afraid to be obedient because I care more about the outcome than I do being faithful. I care more about how y'all receive it than I do pleasing the God that has carried me this far. I'm being transparent. And it's probably safe to say I'm not the only one in here. We know we commit sins. And some of us may have never heard this term before, but have you ever heard of sins of omission? When you know God's telling you to do something and you just omit doing it. I think another reason we don't ask for it is because, I got scared one time that the preacher was going to do something crazy if I didn't ask for it. And I did. And that Holy Spirit thing made me kind of rearrange my life. It messed with me. I don't want to go through that again. You've been there, right? But the reality is, and the beauty of our faith is, that we're not the only ones asking, seeking, and knocking. God's asking, seeking, and knocking too. The truth is, there's not one single person here today who is asking, seeking, and knocking more than God. See, God's asking for more surrender, more control of your life. He's asking for more obedience from you, from your family, from this church family. He's asking for a deeper relationship. He's seeking you in areas where you're trying to hide from him. You can't play hide and seek with God. He's going to find you every time. He's seeking you out. Isn't that the beauty of our God? He's holy and divine and all wonderful things. And he comes seeking after, I think the word we use is a wretch like me. And he's knocking. He's knocking on those locked places of our hearts. He's knocking on those areas where we know we could do more. We could pray more. We could serve more. We could love more. We could give of ourselves more. And he's knocking at those locked doors, asking us to let him in. I don't know what your biggest concern and your biggest prayer request is today. I know even less about what answer we'll get if we pray about it. But what I know with all certainty, and if the prayer is bold, persistent, and shameless, and it ends and it directs us to the will of God and using us to glorify him, then we will experience it. Because see, God's always been faithful. He's never not been a faithful God. So Jesus says to each of us this morning, how much more? How much more do you want of the Holy Spirit, the presence and power of God in your life? You're the only one that can answer. Your spouse can't answer for you. Your parents, your grandparents can't answer for you. You will either decide to ignore it and move on and go about just a good old life, or you'll decide to ask, seek, and knock. I promise you, God's faithful. What about you? Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.